the first few chapters of Galatians, Paul lays out the doctrine of our salvation. He reminds us that we are not saved by our works, by our efforts, by keeping the Old Testament law or parts of the Old Testament law. We are saved by faith alone. And it's faith placed in Jesus Christ, who died for us in our place and rose again. By faith in him, we have new life. We're free from the law, and he wants us to run freely. So the question is, if I don't govern my life by the Old Testament and by the laws of Moses, then how do I live as a Christian? Because there's this part of me and you that wants to do wrong. It wants to get away with whatever we can get away with. We can get away with a little bit or more than a little bit. There's a part in us. If you tell me the speed limit is 55, I want to know how fast really can I go before I get in trouble, right? I mean, when you set some kind of a boundary, I want to know just how many times do I get a warning? You know, we there's something in us that wants to get away with whatever we can. So, if we're not under the law, then how do we live? How can we live a life that honors God? In Galatia, there were teachers of the Jewish nation and Jewish traveling teachers that came up and told the church, hey, you're Gentiles, you're Galatians. If you're going to be part of the people of God, you got to start looking like them and acting like them, like they always have from the law of Moses, if you want to truly be welcomed by God, truly be part of his people. There are things you got to observe, like feasts and special days. And Paul says, nope, that's not how you become a true member of God's family. You become a member of his family by faith in his son. That's it. By faith alone. The just shall live by faith. So the question is, how do we live? How do we live now that we're in Christ? How do we live? And Paul is going to really help us, the end of chapter 5 and going into chapter 6, about how to live your life as a Christian and what's the secret to a godly life. And we'll see that over the next few weeks. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this morning. It's a beautiful spring Sunday morning that we can gather together. I thank you for the singing and the music of worship to you. I pray it's pleasing to you. I pray now that as we would look at your word and examine a few verses together, that it would be challenging to your people, strengthening to them. And I ask if anyone is listening that has never trusted Christ as their Savior, that they would understand what that means, forgiveness for their sins and pardon from the judgment that they deserve by trusting in your Son. Lord, he died and he rose again to take away our guilt and to give us new life. And I pray that you would help us to walk worthy of that, to bring you glory in the church. And as we leave the church, we go about in the world, pray we would glorify you and reach others who need to hear. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Galatians 5:16. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh, for these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Next week, I hope to take up the fruit of the Spirit and see how God's Spirit in us produces fruit. And it's fruit like love, we sang about, joy, peace. It's things that the Holy Spirit will grow in us. But this morning, we have to look at sort of the negative part. And that is, as you walk in the Spirit, as you're led by His Spirit, there's things you have to get rid of and denounce and reject from your life. And Paul is very, very specific. Because we are in Christ, and you'll see that in verse 24, those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. We are in Christ. The Holy Spirit is given to you when you believe. If you were to go to Romans chapter 8, when you become a Christian, you get the Holy Spirit. You receive Him into your life. He comes. He fills your life. The Bible calls it being baptized into the Spirit. We're placed in Him. It's a new realm that we live in, the Holy Spirit. We're in Him, and He is in us, changing us from the inside out. The law and legalism tries to change you from the outside in. It says, do this, look like this, wear this, do this, and then you'll become a godly person. If you do these things, then you will be right. And legalism tries to make you do certain things, and then the people will see you doing those and say, ah, there's a good person. That's a good godly person. But the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, changes you from the inside out. I mean, should you dress modestly? Should you spend time reading the Scriptures? Yes. But not to make you, not to prove that you're holy and following God, but because there's a Spirit of God inside of you that's changing you to make you live out your faith. So God is working from the inside out. And here's where we get frustrated. We look at other people and we go, well, come on, your outside isn't catching up. Ah. You know, we want to see. In fact, we talked about this with the young people at the 30-hour famine. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. Some people might look really good, and their heart is far from God. But when the heart is seeking God, the outside will come around. It'll come around, and serving God, and those things will come around. The Spirit is now the dominant power in your life. It's going to provide you with victory over sin. And this is what we talk about. So rather than law, and we need to back up just a little bit to verse 13 of chapter 5. And we mentioned this a couple weeks ago. Verse 13, you were called to freedom, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. And that word opportunity means base of operations. Don't use your freedom from the law as a base of operations to go into sin. Go, well, I don't have to keep the law? Cool. I'm a Christian. I can do whatever I want. And then we go into sin. And Paul says, nope, your life cannot be governed and restricted by the Old Testament law. But it also is not just a free-for-all. I can do whatever I want. I'm saved. I'll let grace cover any sin. That'll be wonderful. Don't tell me I've got to do anything for the Lord because I'm in grace. Paul says those are two wrong extremes. Some people want to be very legalistic, and some people want to say, I'll do whatever I want. Paul says both are wrong. And we come to verse 16. He says, instead of law or license, walk by the Spirit. This is the key. This is the key to a godly Christian life. It is to walk by the Spirit. Walk in Him. Walk by Him. The first thing we'll see in these verses, number one, is the walk. The walk. It's clearly what Paul is saying, but I say, instead of law and license, walk by the Spirit. This is how you began. When you trusted Christ, The Holy Spirit came into your life. He cleansed you. He washes you on the inside so that you're clean. He regenerates you to be a new person, a new creation. Your old life is over. It's washed away. All the things, your sins and things that you were embarrassed about, things you wish you could forget, that's forgiven at the cross. And the Holy Spirit comes into your life and begins to change you and bring you joy. And Paul says, you started that way. Now, keep it up. This tense here, walk by the Spirit. Keep walking by the Spirit. Always be walking in the Spirit. You're led by Him. You're following Him. In the Bible, when you see that word walk, it's talking about your daily life. In the Bible days, of course, they didn't have cars and motorcycles, and they walked. You want to go someplace, you usually walked there. It's one foot in front of the other, right? Your Christian life is a walk. It's steady. It's a progress. Do you stumble sometimes? You slip on the ice? I'm so thankful it's spring time. I wore a t-shirt just to celebrate. Don't tell Mr. Dietz, though. Okay. It's a walk. It's a journey. It's step by step in a new life. And God's Spirit is just going to guide you and bring you along. This is the road you should follow. It's another way of looking at this idea. Walk by the Spirit. It's a road that you follow. If you're walking in Christ, you're walking in the Spirit, in the Holy Spirit, letting Him lead you, then you're going in the right direction. Unlike our friend Sarah, a few years ago, when we lived in Pennsylvania, our friend Sarah was coming to visit us and Michelle's sister, and she got on the expressway, Highway 80, which runs east and west through Pennsylvania. And she got off the expressway to get, you know, to get gas or whatever, a Coke. And she got back on the expressway and started driving, but she was going the wrong direction. For at least 3 hours. Yeah. Just driving and singing with the radio and nothing looked familiar. But, you know, you're on the highway, just all looks the same anyway, right? Driving at least three hours before she realized that she needed to turn around and get back on the right path. If you are walking by the Spirit, you're in the right path. You're on the right road. And it's that step by step. The Holy Spirit will direct you. He's your internal GPS to guide you into godly living. But not only is He GPS for you, He's also the battery. He's the power that you need to go. God's Spirit will not just lead you, but empower you to do what He's leading you to do. It's wonderful. God is working in us both to will and to do His good pleasure. Philippians chapter 2. He not only will guide us to what we should be doing, and I'm talking day to day guiding us, but He also gives us the power to do it. He gives us the strength to do what He wants us to do. The Holy Spirit is directing us. So rather than law, a bunch of regulations and restrictions, and rather than license, where that just doesn't matter, the Holy Spirit is given. And the reason that we need His leading and His guiding, His power, is, keep looking there at verse 16, because you and I have this other part of us that is wired into our DNA called the flesh. And the flesh is what makes us want to do bad things. Even as a Christian, maybe you've been a Christian for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 50 years, 60 years, there's still a part of you that wants to do wrong, and you're embarrassed about it. You wish it wasn't true, but it's there. It is the flesh. It is our sin nature. It's why Paul says you're free from the law, but that doesn't mean use that freedom as a base of operations for your flesh. Your flesh just wants to come over there and say, okay, no one will know about this, I'm sure. And try to, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I need your grace now. That's the flesh that wants to take advantage of God's grace and his mercy and try to satisfy ourselves with sin. Which, when we step back and think about it, sin never satisfies us. It only makes us feel guilty and embarrassed and ashamed. And it only makes us wish we hadn't done it. But in that moment of temptation, it's this battle that's happening between our old nature, our flesh, Paul calls it, and the Holy Spirit of God. And you are not a robot. God is not just making you against your will do certain things. There is a battle. And that's the second thing we look at. There's the walk, this day-to-day steps in God's will by his Spirit. And the second thing is the war. The war in every Christian. Verse 17, he describes it. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit. And the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. They are opposed to each other to keep you from doing what you want to do. One day, you will be glorified, and this will no longer be a battle. One day, your sin nature will be, it'll be just taken away. And you will live, we'll live together with no sin. Can you imagine that? There'll be no grumpiness. You know, jealousy, all of that will be taken away. And we'll just live together and just be joyful in Christ. But right now, there's a war. It's a war inside of you. We have this battle between wanting to live for God and wanting to sin sometimes. And the false teacher's answer to that was the law. Well, you just need to pop, 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 put this law on you. And then you won't have such a problem. But then we look at verse 18. But, or since, you are led by the Spirit. You're a Christian. You've trusted in Christ. You're filled with his Holy Spirit. If you're led by the Spirit, same as walking in the Spirit, being indwelled by him. I think this is the key. This is where we've got to get to. It's, we know what God's Spirit wants us to do. The key, I believe, to your Christian life, to my Christian life, is submitting to the Holy Spirit. It's being yielded to him. And it's hard, because sometimes I don't want to. But if I will yield to him, he will lead me. He will guide me. In fact, God's grace and his glory will satisfy me to where the sin isn't as appealing. I just got to keep going to him, going to his cross, remembering what he's done for me. And the Spirit will lead me in my daily life, moment by moment. He's going to make you become more like Jesus. He is conforming you to the image of God's beloved Son. But it's a process, isn't it? And we're all in the process. Some of us are older, maybe further in the process. Some of us are just starting out in the process. But it is a process of God's Spirit changing you to walk for him daily, step by step. And you say, but I stumbled. I mean, yesterday or the day before, this morning, I stumbled. And I say, yep. And here's what Proverbs says about that. A just person, a righteous one, will fall 7 times. But they get up again. He gets up again. You fall and you confess and you get up and you keep walking. Satan would love to have you fall into sin and stay right there. Or at least just stay so depressed and discouraged about your own failure that you don't do anything for God. Satan goes, Okay, good. Don't have to worry about that person. They're miserable, defeated. Their flesh won the battle. Good. And here Paul says, you're led by the Spirit. Just get up. Just keep going. He'll empower you to go and walk in Him. If you love Him, you will keep His commandments. And listen to this. The fruit of the Spirit is love. How do I love God? Because the Spirit is growing that in me. I can't work up love for God. I can't. But the Spirit is growing it in me. Maybe I take the Bible and I water it a little bit, right? I listen to teaching and preaching and it waters in my heart, and love is growing towards God because His Spirit is producing it. He's working. He's working in you. And if you're led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. When you were following God, where He Himself is leading you each day, think about this. When you're following where God is leading you each day, moment by moment, you don't need a law. When you're close and God's Spirit is guiding you through your day, I don't have to tell you not to steal from somebody. I don't have to tell you not to kill somebody or hate somebody, because you're walking with the Spirit. He's guiding you right where you should be. When the flesh comes in and starts to battle, now I've got to turn to God and just beg Him, ask Him, please strengthen me. Let me defeat my flesh by Your Spirit's power. Give me love for You instead of this desire for sin. You're not under the law. The power of the Spirit is greater far than the law when it comes to living a godly life. Let me say that again. The power of the Spirit is greater far than the law or than a system of legalism to help you live a godly life. The Spirit is within you. I was thinking about the difference between having the law and having the Spirit to guide you. And I actually thought about Silas, who is a golfer. I used to get buy golf magazines, and they come with these little instruction things, and you tear them out and you try to follow along the pictures that are there as far as the how to stand and how to hold the club and where the ball is supposed to be. But I had one golf lesson from Silas, and I'm still a terrible golfer, but I'm better than I was. This is the point. You can have a manual instruction, okay, and you're like, okay, so bend your knees, okay? All right, now bend over at the waist, okay, now grip like this. And you can read instructions, but when there's someone who's really good at it, and they're right there with you, and they say, whoa, 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 you're bending your knees too much. I am? Yeah, you're bending it. Okay, now your grip is too tight. You can't get that in a book. Your grip is too tight. The book doesn't know how tight your grip is. But if you have a personal coach, if you have someone that's right there that really knows, they can guide you and show you specifically what you're doing wrong and what you should be doing right. And that's the Holy Spirit in your life. That's the Holy Spirit who knows you, who knows what areas you are weak in and need to be strengthened. He's right there inside of you, leading you in the war. Third, there's this the walk that we are to have. There's the war that's going on, and then Paul is going to detail, in case we're not acknowledging the truth in us, he's going to detail the works of the flesh. Works of the flesh. Number 19, or verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are evident or obvious. I mean, these people grew up in the Greco-Roman world, which was very corrupt, okay? Where you've got false gods and the worship of those gods all around. It was part of their fabric of their daily life. They had all kinds of festivals and celebrations. You know, we have Easter, and where we celebrate Jesus rising from the dead, and we have Christmas celebrating, and that's holiday for us. We get time off of work for that, and we travel, we give gifts, and we celebrate together as family and as friends. In the first century, the world celebrated false holidays, pagan holidays, all the time. There was times of worship and feasting and celebration, and it got drunk and it got immoral. But it was just expected that that's what you would do. It was just part of your workplace, part of your job and your family. So Paul says, when the Spirit comes into your life, all of that has got to be gone. These are the works of the flesh, and he gives them to us. I've broken them down into a few different categories, and I'll just kind of skip through them quickly, these works of the flesh. You don't need a law or anyone to tell you that these things are wrong, and you need the Holy Spirit to avoid these. The first three I have is perversion. The works of the flesh are sexual immorality. Again, in Paul's day, that was the absolute norm. It was just, don't get caught. That was what the philosophy was. You know, and if someone does catch you, well, you know, they shouldn't make a big deal about it because they're probably just as bad as you are. And this is the first one, sexual immorality. It is just any kind of sex outside of marriage. And then he says impurity. And impurity, it's a pretty good translation. In a moral sense, it just means dirty. And it's the things, you know, we don't like to think about or talk about. And Paul says, you know, don't let any of that in your life. And sensuality. Sensuality, it's worse than it sounds, actually. It's the love of immoral sin that where a person just gets reckless and they do not care what anyone thinks about their lifestyle. They don't care what God thinks. They don't care what their society thinks or their family thinks. They do not care. They're just reckless into their desires. Those three I have perversion. The next two I call or label power. These works of the flesh. Verse 20, idolatry, which is false gods, right? It's fearing them and worshiping them. It's the people would worship false gods hoping to appease them, hoping to appease their wrath and get their benefits. I'm going to worship this idol so hopefully it helps my crops grow or help my business succeed. They want power for themselves, really. And so they build an idol and worship it and hope to get benefit of it. And connected with that is sorcery, which is what? It's witchcraft. It's trying to gain power through magic. Okay, so I've got this false god or this demon that I'm worshiping, and there, a lot of times there's magic that goes along with that. And Paul says those things should have no place in the believer's life. You're trying to get power from a dark source rather than having the power of God's Spirit in your life. Then the next big group, I put pride. There's perversion, power, and pride is sort of a big one. And this especially affects us in the church. These warnings to it. Our flesh wants to have enmity, which is hatred. It's just, I don't like you. It's you're in the church. Enmity, strife is quarreling. That's I don't like you, and I'm telling you why. And so there's this quarreling. Jealousy, which is an intense feeling. It's a desire to have something that someone else has. Fits of anger. And let's just pause there for a moment. Fits of anger, outbursts of anger. Let's be honest, sometimes it's rage. And you may say, well, no, I just have a temper. You know, in my family, people have temper. Shouldn't be. We shouldn't just give in to outbursts of anger, Paul says. These are the works of the flesh. Rivalries, you know what that is? That's selfish ambition. That's, you know, I've got what I'm interested in, and a few friends are interested in it, and those people, that they have a different thing, I don't like it. I mean, it's a rivalry. dissensions. Those are disagreements that lead to arguments. Dissension. Divisions. You know? These are things that they kill churches. Divisions. You know, should the piano be on this side of the auditorium or should it be over here on this side? And you might have a real strong opinion about that. Don't let something like that divide you from someone else in the church. You say, that's silly. It's happened. Where the piano is. Those kind of things can cause division, factions, groups separated over differences. Envy, he says in verse 21, that's desiring exclusive possession of something for myself. You have something I like and I'm envious. I wish I had it. I wish I had it and not you. Isn't that bad? That's envy. Now, some of the versions, next, I couldn't come up with a P for this next category. The next few are just out of control things. Out of control. Some of your Bibles, some manuscripts have murder. It's not in all the manuscripts, but it's certainly included in other places in the New Testament. Obviously, that's an out of control response. Then you see drunkenness. I mean, that's just giving control of yourself to a substance. It's where you're not in your right mind. You're not clearly thinking because of your drunkenness. And when does drinking become drunkenness? I think that's specific to each person. I think when are you drunk? Well, I'm not drunk. I'm just a little buzzed. Well, is that drunkenness? Is that what the Holy Spirit is wanting to produce in your life? No. And then the ESV says orgies, probably better translated, just wild parties, drinking parties, getting loud, out of control. They would do this in celebration of a god. They'd just be going out in the streets and just a wild party. Obviously, a lot of that will lead to immoral things. And then, how about this little expression at the end there, where he says, and such things like these. So I'm not, Paul says, here's a list of things that are perverted, or if you're seeking power, pride coming out in your life, or just out of control in an area. But I can't give you everything. He says, and things like these. Things that you know are not right, and your flesh wants to go in that direction, and you know it's not right. Just things like this. It's away from God. And then he ends with number four, as we talked about, the walk and this war that we have and the works of the flesh. And finally, the warning that he gives. He says, I warn you, as I warned you before. Do you see that with me? At the end of verse 21, I warn you as I warned you before. So he's already talked about this. He's already preached this to them. And do you see the emphasis? Two times this warning is given. And it's a serious warning. It is serious business. And here's what he says. Follow along. Those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. And the word do, those who do such things, it's this word practice. It's a regular, if this is your life, if your life is patterning these kinds of sins against God, you're not going to heaven. You're not a Christian. You say, well, no, I go to church, and I've prayed, and I believe in Jesus. And Paul says, but the Spirit of God changes you. And you may stumble in one of these areas. You may stumble in a few of these areas from time to time. But if your life is doing these works of the flesh, it's an evidence that you're not a believer. You're not a Christian. If your life is practicing, living in sin, don't call yourself a Christian. So, well, you know, I prayed a prayer when I was... Don't say you're a Christian if you are living in sin. It's not a Christian. Christians stumble into sin. Let's not deny it. John says, if we say we have not sinned, we deceive ourselves. And non-Christians will say, I don't sin. I make mistakes sometimes. I had a five-year-old boy in Sunday school class. He said, do you know you're a sinner? He goes, I don't sin. I make mistakes. He's five. But adults say the same thing. Christian, you're a sinner. I'm a sinner. We stumble in these areas. But he says, if you're living in this kind of a lifestyle, I warn you, you're not in the kingdom. You're not going to the kingdom. As we yield our will to the Holy Spirit, he will lead us away from sin. He will empower us to defeat those sins. It's a war. Let's be honest. We struggle with temptation, all of us in different ways. It's a battle that we face, but you have the Holy Spirit. You have the Spirit. He is empowering you. He is changing you. Walk in him. So Paul says, I say to you, walk by the Spirit. And right here he says, and walk away from sin. And that's my challenge to us this morning. It's my challenge to you. Walk in the Spirit away from sin. That flesh is going to want to trip you up before you even leave here today, tomorrow morning. And I say, with as Paul says, walk by the Spirit away from sin. The Holy Spirit, he'll lead us through the Word. He'll lead us with desires to please God. The more we love God, the more we want to keep his commandments. He's not only our GPS, it's our battery powering us. And remember this, the Spirit is holy. He's the Holy Spirit. That's what he wants you to do, to walk in holiness. Let me close with these four ways to begin walking by the Spirit. And I'm going to give you four ways to walk in the Spirit. Okay, so Jeff, don't just tell me that I'm supposed to walk in the Spirit. Okay? Tell me how. How can I do that? Four things. Number one, surrender your will to God's Spirit in prayer. You're going to surrender your will. Your will decides between the flesh and the Spirit. Your will, what you choose to do. And the first thing I say is surrender your will to God. You're just going to him in prayer and saying, God, you have my will. I want you to strengthen me to always choose you. Choose where you are leading. Surrender your will to God's Spirit. Second, to walk in the Spirit. Search the Bible each day to know God. Old Testament and New Testament. You're searching the Bible to know him, to know what he loves, to know what he hates. Maybe you've done a sin. You don't even realize it's a sin. You don't even realize that God wants to change that in you because he's holy. And this book will show us what God is like. Search the Bible each day to know God. Surrender your will. Search the Bible. Number three, to walk in the Spirit. Stop making any provision for the flesh. Stop making any provision for the flesh. There's something you know trips you up. You've got to stop allowing yourself to go there, to go in that place or in that direction. You stop making that provision for your flesh. If you were on a sugar-free diet, or if you were fasting for 30 hours with the youth, if you're on a sugar-free diet, man, don't buy candy bars. Well, but I might really want. If you put it there, if you have it available, if you have that access, don't trust your willpower to get you by. Stop making provision for the flesh. That's where it's got to start a lot of times with us. You know, if there's a struggle in your heart, in your personal life, it might be something you talk with your spouse about or with your parents or a close friend, and you say, I have this struggle in this area and I don't want to. I want to be done with it. I don't want to make provision. I want to hide this anymore. I want to stop making any kind of provision or allowance for us. Stop making provision for the flesh. Number four, this is the fourth thing, to walk in the Spirit. It's just practical advice. Number four, start seeing the fruits of the Spirit in you and in others. Start seeing the fruits of the Spirit. See what God is already doing in your life. And we'll talk about this next week. Love, joy, peace, patience, godliness. Start seeing what God is already doing in you and in someone else. Say, I see that love. I see you serving. I see you sacrificing. Start seeing the positive and the fruits and not dwelling so much on the negative. Walk by the Spirit away from sin. Will you stand with me? Heavenly Father, Lord, we know that in Christ we are right with you. We are pronounced right, justified by you. Your Spirit has sanctified us, set us apart, made us holy in your Son. And you have allowed us in this time to still have our flesh. It's defeated. It's conquered through the cross. And yet it's still there wanting to sin and to go against you in temptation. Lord, I pray for myself. I pray for us as a church that we would walk by your Spirit, led by you. We wouldn't allow the flesh to have any kind of an advantage. We would seek you in your word. We'd pray to you and submit our will. We start seeing your fruit you're already producing in our life and in the lives of other believers. Lord, help us to walk by you. Lord, if there's anyone here that's struggling with a particular sin, it just keeps defeating them, I pray they would not give up. They would be strengthened today to walk in purity and walk in holiness. It might be sins of the thought, sins of the eyes, sins of the lip. Things that they say, things that they do. I pray that by the power of your Spirit, they would see victory. They would see change. They would see hope in your Spirit as you lead them and guide them and empower them to walk in you and away from sin. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing together.